Now, the survey revealed that a substantial portion of the Australian population believe that women hold a responsibility in the abuse perpetrated against them. Can you give us some examples of the victim-blaming attitudes the report revealed?
Yeah, so there's a combination of things happening, but the survey found that, you know, 1 in 3 Australians believe women are partly responsible for relationship violence if they don't leave a violent partner. And another third believe that if a woman sends a nude image to a partner, she is partly responsible if he shares it without her permission. So whilst these attitudes have improved slightly since the last survey, they're still quite concerning that a third of Australians believe that women are responsible for the violence they experience. And when two out of 10 Australians believe that when women express themselves sexually in public, it's not surprising that men think they can touch them without permission. So what happens with victim-blaming attitudes when you've got a substantial portion of people in the population that then shifts the responsibility away from the perpetrators of violence and tends to focus more on the victim and ask lots of questions about what she's been doing, when in fact we need to be asking questions about why men feel that they can perpetrate this violence. So it then affects whether or not women ask for help or, you know, can seek some support.
Mm. And how have those attitudes changed over the time that this report has been conducted?
So over the years, we've actually had an increase in Australians' knowledge and understanding about what constitutes violence against women. In particular, more Australians recognise emotional abuse and social control and coercive behaviour. So those are really good signs. We actually understand what violence is. But then on the other hand, there's concerning results that we still have a third of the population who aren't aware that women are more likely to be raped by someone who's known to them rather than a stranger, when in fact almost 90% of sexual assaults are committed by someone known to the victim. We've also got about a third who are unaware that it's mainly men who commit acts of domestic violence, and this has decreased. So we've got fewer people understanding that it's mainly men who commit acts of domestic violence. So it's going in the backwards direction. But in fact, women are 3 times as likely as men to have experienced violence from an intimate partner who's mostly a male since the age of 15.
Now, the survey also revealed that some Australians are still unsure on what sexual consent means. Can you tell us about some of the scenarios in which some Australians showed a disregard for consent?
Yeah, so we set up a scenario where we asked if a woman and man had been at a party and then they came home and they started kissing and she pushed him away. Would the man be justified in continuing to have sex with her anyway? And most Australians said that he would not be justified. Only about 4% thought it was still okay. But then we asked the second part of the scenario, that what if she took him into the bedroom and she was she started kissing him in the bedroom and then she pushed him away, would he have been justified? And we have a much larger portion who would agree, like 1 in 10 Australians, more than 1 in 10 Australians, believe that he would be justified in continuing to have sex with her anyway. So this consent issue is sort of this negotiating consent all the way through a relationship is still difficult for some people to understand. And I think it's very concerning. This would be a criminal activity. So if she's pushed him away and someone's continued to have sex with her, that's a criminal activity. And it's quite concerning that more than 1 in 10 Australians don't really understand that.
Mm. Now, I understand it's not all bad news. What were the positive results from this survey?
Yeah, so we've got a reduction in attitudes that are supportive of violence against women. That's quite encouraging, that we've got a reduction in people who believe that domestic violence can be excused if a man simply loses control or if he shows regret afterwards. So that's really positive. People are understanding that men need to take some responsibility. And fewer Australians believe that domestic violence is a private matter. So that's good too. We've got people actually talking about it. And I think that's what needs to happen. People need to talk about it, and then we can continue to shift attitudes, and then we get people who will stand up. So the more people talk about it, the more people will stand up against the violence.
I saw the Sex Discrimination Commissioner, Kate Jenkins, on National Rap last night, and she said that in Australia we have quite a good conversation around domestic a good national conversation around domestic violence and these issues. Would you agree that, as someone from the field, that our national conversation is moving in the right direction?
I think it is moving in the right direction. At least there is a conversation. It's very public. And we're getting the right messages out. So I think the government has been instrumental in being consistent with a consistent message over a long period of time. We know attitude change and behavior change takes a long time. When you're brought up in a community of a particular set of social norms and attitudes, it takes a long time to shift them. So we need concerted effort with consistent messaging. And while some of these results are showing some positive shift, we can't be complacent. We need to continue to have the dialogue, the conversation. We need to keep it in the media. We need to keep the investment going.
And just finally, what more can governments do to help out here?
Well, we're starting some programs with young people in schools, and I think that's a really great initiative. We need to do more of that because, as we know, once you're an adult and you have fully formed attitudes and views, it's really hard to shift them. So we need to be starting with this sort of respectful relationship type programs in schools. I think a lot more could be done about the issue of consent and having programs that help young people negotiate consent, understanding where that line is and how you work through it in an interaction.
Right. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks, Victor. Lovely to talk with you.